Open your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. In the pattern of the New Testament, the ministry God gave to any man was not the ministry of a single man, but the ministry of the local church with which that man was personally connected, what he was a member, which he was either pastor or a missionary, an evangelist, sent out by them to preach the gospel. That's so very, very, very important. Local churches, hearing a man preach, Paul and Barnabas, when they were traveling together, they would be supported by that local assembly and then supported to go on to the next assembly. And thus it was recommended. At times Paul made tents to supply his needs. But he clearly taught that the laborer is worthy of his hire, that God's servants are to be supported and maintained in the work of the gospel by the churches where they pastor. That ought always to be the case wherever it is possible. I say that because I want you to understand. God has graciously, for reasons known only to himself, given this congregation an open door of ministry in many places around the world for these many years we have been together. What a great privilege, what a great opportunity God has given to us, that we, a body of believers like us, should be given open door of utterance for the gospel in so many places for so many years. Understand the blessedness of it, and understand that God who gave it can take it away and shut those doors like that. Let us be faithful in the cause of our Redeemer so long as we live on this earth, and understand that we are laborers together in the cause of Christ. Yes, I am your pastor. God has gifted me to preach the gospel to you, and God has given us this ministry together. But it is our ministry, our labor together, and without you, I couldn't do it. I'm aware of that. I thank God for you, and thank you for making it possible. Several years ago, I was going down to preach for Brother Mahan in Ashland at New Year's Eve service. This has been a long, long time ago. And Brother Rex met me at the door and said, I sure would like to go with you, but I have to work tomorrow. And my response to him was, don't ever apologize to me for having to work. Because if you didn't work and pay the bills, I couldn't go. And I recognize that. I recognize that small part of what you do in the cause of our Redeemer. But I appreciate more than I can tell you your faithful support of the gospel ministry, both of my own life and of the lives and ministries of others in various parts of the world and through this country as well. We are laborers together in this work God has given us. Let us pray together that he may make us faithful and use us for his glory. Here in Acts chapter 14, actually the context begins back in chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the church at Antioch to preach the gospel among the Gentiles. These men were called of God, gifted of God, and one means by which God did this to send them out was through his local church. I promise you, if a man is gifted of God to preach the gospel and sent of God to preach the gospel, God's people will know it before he does. God's people will know it before he does. Men who appoint themselves to the work never amount to anything and never do anything for the glory of God and the good of men's souls. Men who make their own way may put themselves in a position where folks call them preachers and refer to them as pastors, but they are not sent of God. God's servants are sent by his church to preach the gospel of his grace by God the Holy Spirit separating them for the work of the gospel. These men, Paul and Barnabas, were sent to preach among the Gentiles, sent by Jews who had been converted, to preach the gospel to Gentiles who were yet without the knowledge of Christ. After preaching the gospel at Antioch, Pisidia, Paul and Barnabas came to Iconium and preached Christ there. They went on to preach the gospel in Lycaonia and Lystra, and then they went to Derbe and back to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, Pisidia again, preaching the gospel, confirming the brethren, ordaining elders in every city wherever God raised up churches. They then passed through Pisidia and preached the word in Pamphylia, Perga, and Attalia. And then they returned to Antioch, Syria, to give a report of what God had done on their first missionary journey. Let's begin reading at verse 21 in Acts 14. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that's why they went, to proclaim the glad tidings of Jesus Christ crucified, and had taught many, taught them the gospel of God's grace, taught them the word of God. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, establishing them in the faith of Christ, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Go on believing God. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's true of God's people in every generation, wherever they are found. If we enter God's kingdom at last, we will enter God's kingdom through much tribulation. That may include outward physical opposition, even persecution. But he certainly means here that we who are God's, as we make our pilgrimage through this world, continually endure tribulation that opposes faith. Tribulation that tests faith. Tribulation that proves faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. Commended God's people to God. That's about the best thing you can do. Commended God's people to God, on whom they believed. They believed on the Lord. They leaned on the Lord. They trusted the Lord Jesus. Faith in Christ is never really defined in the Word of God. We know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But that's simply a declaration of what faith bestows upon us and gives us. Faith in Christ is illustrated and given by many different terms. It's leaning on Christ, looking to Christ, walking with Christ, trusting Christ. Faith is coming to Christ. Faith is seeing Christ. These disciples are men and women who believed on the Lord. That's what God's people do. They lean the weight of their lives upon Christ the Lord. Read on, verse 24. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. The church at Antioch, by God's grace, recommended them to this work. They went out to do the work, and they fulfilled the work. This is my constant prayer, and has been for nearly 45 years. God, give me grace to fulfill the work to which you have appointed me for the glory of your name. God, give us grace to fulfill the work he's committed to our hands. That involves devotion. That involves responsibility. That involves commitment, that involves work. If we would serve our Redeemer, we must do so with deliberate purpose. I recognize, and I've said often from this pulpit, that by religious standards, by the standards that men generally think the work of the ministry is, I am the poorest of all pastors. By the standard of this book, things are somewhat different. Deacons were established in the 6th chapter of Acts so that pastors could give themselves to prayer, to study, and to preaching. That's where the work of the ministry is done. The social life is wonderful. I hope you know how much I appreciate and enjoy and try to seize every opportunity I have to be with you when you get together in your homes privately. I'd love you to stop by here and visit with me. But the work of the ministry is done back there in the study. If a man would serve God faithfully as a preacher, he must study. He must give himself to prayer and to study and to preaching. You pray that God will give me grace, wisdom, and strength constantly to devote myself to those things. And I appreciate so much you taking other burdens off of me so that I can. Now, following Paul's example, I want to now give you an example or a report of what God has been pleased to do in this last trip to England and Northern Ireland the last couple of weeks. First, let me remind you of the reason for the work. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. This congregation, you, are an exemplary congregation in the work of evangelism. Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, to do the work of one who goes about place to place preaching the gospel for the salvation of God's elect, to confirm the saints, to exhort them to continue in the faith. You generously give to the cause of Christ, and you graciously support various ministries throughout the world. We support our missionaries. If God raises up men who preach the gospel, we do what we can to help them. Pastors who need help, we do what we can to help them. Other churches, we do what we can to help them. God has allowed us to have a real active part in establishing a number of churches in the time we've been together. We use every means God's put at our disposal for preaching the gospel to folks, both by writing and by audio and video, wherever God opens the door. The Free Grace Radio Ministry, as you'll find this in just a little bit, is continuing to be a vital, vital ministry around the world. Almost every week, you send your pastor somewhere to preach the gospel. And many wonder why you do so. Others wonder that you do so at all. You can't imagine how many times I have folks to suggest that it's surprising your church lets you go where you do. When I don't get real mad, I laugh. My wife doesn't let me go where I do. You're not about to. That's not going to happen. But I'm thankful that you're very much a part of everything I do, sending me to preach the gospel. Folks wonder why I strive to give myself relentlessly to this work. As I continue to age, folks think, well, you ought to slow down and stop doing some things. Why would a group of hard-working men and women give so generously to proclaim the gospel everywhere as God opens the door? We do so for exactly the same reason that John the Baptist came in his day, to bear witness of the light. That's our whole business, to bear witness of the light, to lift up the light of the gospel, the light being Christ Jesus crucified, that all men through him might believe. This is how God saves sinners. This is how God calls out his elect. This is how God shows mercy to sinners. He causes their paths to cross with a gospel preacher. Brother Frank just read that marvelous story of Naaman and meeting up with God's prophet. When God intends to show mercy to a sinner, He will cause that sinner's path to be crossed by a gospel preacher, some way or another. And I, after 63 years of age now, I am more astonished and surprised and delighted every time I see how God causes the path of His servant to cross with the chosen sinner at the time He's pleased to call him by His grace. Look here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake to them, His disciples, His church, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." As our mediator, as our substitute, as our surety, as the God-man, the Lord Jesus earned the right to rule the world. The Father said to the Son in covenant mercy, Psalm 2, verse 8, "Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." The Lord Jesus, when He finished His work on this earth, said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." He said, "Give me now the glory I had with thee before the world was." As a man, by His obedience unto death, as our substitute, fulfilling all that God Almighty stipulated in the covenant of grace for the saving of His people, perfect righteousness and complete satisfaction, the Lord Jesus now is about to ascend into heaven. And He says to His disciples, "God, the triune Jehovah, has given me all power over all flesh." That is, over all things. He's given me authority and power in heaven and in earth. Now, what's the next word? "Go ye therefore." Go ye therefore. Quite literally, while you are going therefore. As you are making your pilgrimage through this world, as you are walking toward Zion, as you are moving toward the celestial city, and teach all nations, teach people everywhere, among all nations, black and white, rich and poor, learned and unlearned, male and female, teach folks everywhere. Teach them what? Teach them the gospel. Teach them who I am, what I have done. Teach them how God saves sinners by His marvelous grace. Baptizing them. Notice the order. He didn't say baptize them and then teach them. He said teach them. And when they had been taught, men and women taught of God, brought to life and faith in the Redeemer, baptize them. That's how sinners confess faith in Christ, is by water baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them. Teaching them. That is, as you baptize them, you are teaching them. As men and women are taught the things of God, they're obedient to God if they're born of God. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. You go into a hostile world of darkness. You go into hostile enemy territory every day, marching against the very gates of hell with the Word of God. With this authority, I sent you, and I'm God your Lord. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't allow any obstacle to stand in your way. Don't be turned aside by anything. Lo, I, God with all power, the God-man, your Redeemer, I am with you always. Wherever you are, wherever you go, even to the end of the world. Amen. We devote ourselves to this blessed work of preaching the gospel for the salvation of God's elect, that sinners might believe on, trust the Lord Jesus, that sinners might have that great salvation God so freely gives to all who trust His darling Son. Now, in the time that remains, let me follow the example Paul and Barnabas give in Acts 14 and rehearse that which the Lord has done in the places we visited in the United Kingdom. Paul asked the saints at Colossae to pray for him, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Just as I have asked you to pray for me, and as I asked you to pray for us, particularly when Shelby and I started to leave for England 2 weeks ago. And I'm happy to report to you, as Paul did, a great door and effectual is open to me. I won't try to give you all the details of everything preached, but after we left here Sunday morning, we went over, or after our fellowship dinner Sunday the 20th, we went over and spent about an hour or so with Doug and Faith and the kids, and that's always delightful. And then they took us to the airport, and we flew from Lexington to Atlanta and got into Birmingham, England on Monday morning about 11:30 or so. Brother Paul and Matt Wheeler, sons of Norman Wheeler and Hilda Wheeler, pastor of the church at Dudley, what's the name of the church? Robert Street Baptist Church in Lower Gornal in Dudley, England, just outside of Wolverhampton. Paul and Matt picked us up at the airport as they normally do and drove us that hour or so drive over to Wolverhampton, and we met Norman and his wife Hilda. And Hilda, she's just, I wish you could meet her. I doubt they'll make the trip here at their age, but I wish you could meet them. Norman's been pastor in Dudley for 46 years, and several years ago, he was going through some difficult times, and Brother Sid Buggins had walked by the church door one day and stuck one of our videos in the door, and Norman had no idea where it came from, what it was, but stuck it in his video recorder, watched the messages on it, and then he called his sons in one day and his daughters and said, y'all got to hear this. And they sat and listened to the messages. I think there were four or five, listened to them all at one time. And he seemed to be greatly helped by it. Then he called Brother Buggins and said, you need to hear this. Let me give you this tape. He said, I'm going to give it to you. But after some time, Norman was going through some difficulty and physical things. And his mind was terribly depressed and going through some struggles. And his son, Matt, contacted me and asked me if I might write to his dad. So I called him and chatted with him a couple of times, and we became just very, very good friends over the past several years. I've been preaching for them over there a good while now. The congregation, very small group, but they've been there for a long time, and always enjoy going and preaching to them. His wife, Hilda, does everything to perfection. She prepared a motel room, make sure everything's there we need, and make sure all the things are there that Shelby needs to take care of our things, and just she's just one of those ladies. I'm very thankful to have them as friends. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, I preached at the Robert Street Church, and Brother John Graham and his wife Ann came up from London, and Brother Jeff Thomas from down at Bournemouth, and a fellow named Chris. I can't remember Chris's last name. I've met him a few places over there. Jeff and Chris just began to meet together. I think there are three families meeting together down in the very lower part of England in Bournemouth now. They bought a television screen in a meeting, watching videos. They had the first service last Sunday, and things went very well. So you pray for that group. There are groups like that literally all over the world. Folks in this country, others that have no pastor, no one close by with any reasonable proximity to drive, and they meet together, and they read the scriptures and pray and sing their hymns and then watch the videos. Folks in Dutton and Ballymoney have been doing the same thing, meeting on Sunday afternoons at the Orange Hall there, and meet together, read scripture, pray together, and sing God's hymns, and then watch the video messages. Well, Shelby and I were greatly encouraged the first night in Dudley. I met a fellow by the name of Michael Kelly. He won't mind me telling you his story. I don't think he will. I'm sure he won't. If I thought he would, I wouldn't tell you. Michael is my age. I had heard from him, and frankly, I had forgotten about hearing from him. I'd heard from him back in November. He had at one time been a wealthy man, an artist by trade. He told me he had a pretty wife and children, home, car, a good bit of money, and lost everything, in his words, through my own profligacy. He was raised in a staunchly devoted Roman Catholic household where the kids were required to go to Mass regularly. And if they skipped Mass, they got in big trouble. He came home early one day as a teenager from Mass, and his father knew he hadn't had time to be there and get back. And he threw his clothes out the window, and that was the end of the relationship. 5 months ago, he was in at his wit's ends, as the psalmist said. And began looking for something. He said, I didn't have any idea what I was looking for, but I needed something. And I got on the internet, and the first thing I ran across was a sermon by you. And God got him. And I heard from him a couple of times, and encouraged him to come to the meetings at Dudley. Put him in contact with Brother Matt Wheeler, who lives in Chester, about 2 hours from there. I didn't know of a church in the area. He asked me for one. I said, if there's one there, Brother Matt will know. And he hadn't found one. He came up there and told me his story. And we had a good visit. He was back the next night. And I encouraged him. I said, if you can't move here, I would encourage you to let this pastor and this congregation know. I'll be here once a month or once a week, however often you can make it here, and make this your place of worship, and commit yourself to building the kingdom of God with these people in this place. And I think he's going to. I believe he will. I just heard from him again this morning, or this afternoon. Anyway, after we left Dudley on Friday or Thursday, Paul and his wife Christine and Matt and his wife and children all drove up to the conference at Eggleston, where Brother Peter Minnie is pastor. And they took Shelby and I up. It took about all day to get there. But on Friday night, when the conference started, I preached at the Egglesburn Church, where Brother Peter is pastor. He's been there for 22 years. For 22 years, preaching to probably less than 10 people most of the time. The congregation won't hold more than about 40 people when it's packed out, as it was on Friday night. But he's been there faithfully serving them for 22 years, and he's a faithful man. You've met him, gifted preacher. But I was delighted that Michael Kelly drove up, he and his brother Martin. And his note today told me he and Martin both greatly profited by the message and being at the meeting there in Eggleston. So you pray for them. Pray that God will be pleased to give them direction and supply their needs. But we had a good meeting at Eggleston that night. Brother Alan Jellett and his wife Christine from Nebworth came over. Christine had been, she's been real sick for the past year, but she's doing much better now, so they were able to make the trip. And we got to spend a little bit of time with them. And then on Saturday, had the meeting at Nicholson Hall in Egglesburn, just a little ways from the church building, a little bit bigger place for folks who come on Saturday. And that's all day. We started meeting in the early afternoon about 2 o'clock and had services that afternoon, had dinner together, services again that night. A good many folks from the general area there came, as well as the folks from over at Dudley. And Brother Alan Jellett preached, Brother Peter preached in the afternoon, and we had supper together. I preached that evening, and then again Sunday morning at the Eggleston Church. And then Sunday night, Shelby and I went over Sunday afternoon back to our lodging and got a brief nap. We had a long trip Sunday evening. I took a late flight out of, where did we fly out of? Newcastle, to go over to Belfast. Got into Belfast Airport about 8:30 and got in a motel room. Must have been about 11 o'clock Sunday night, and had services with our friends at Ballymoney in Northern Ireland. That's right up on the, almost on the coast in the most northerly point of North Ireland. Those folks have been meeting together for a good while, but they just started meeting regularly on Sunday afternoons in a public place since we were there the last time. They started renting the Ballymoney Town Hall. The ones who meet regularly are Brother Bill Campbell and his wife Helen, Brother Stuart Boyd and his wife Harriet, and Brother Russell Smith and his wife Sharon, their children Catherine and Johnny, both adult children, but their children, and they meet with them regularly. Brother Stuart Boyd and Russell met us at the airport and took us to our place of residence, our lodging over at the Lodge Hall, again, just very well taken care of there. But Brother Stuart, zealous witness, we first met him on our first trip over to Northern Ireland 8 or 9 years ago, and he's had a serious heart condition since he was 46 years old. And ever since I've known him, had one foot in the grave, the other one a banana peel. Could hardly get around, but he finally, with Obamacare in Great Britain, he finally got a defibrillator about a year ago. He's been doing better ever since, and he's able to get around pretty well now. Anyway, he and Russell met us at the airport, and we met for supper every night. And those folks meet together and watch the videos and do what they can to get the gospel out in that area. You pray God will be pleased to send them a pastor. Pray that God will be pleased to establish his witness in that place. Some folks look at those things and think this is meaningless. For two or three gathered together are gathered together, gathered by God's Spirit in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Why would you go preach to such a small group of people, take such labor, and go to such expense, and spend so much time doing it? If they were your family, you'd want me to, wouldn't you? If those few were your sons and daughters, you'd want me to, wouldn't you? God's people are gathered where God gathers them, sometimes in very small numbers. Faithful men serve them. Faithful men serve them. And I pray that God will be pleased to establish his witness in that place. Well, on Wednesday, we got up early, and Russell and Sharon drove us down to Dublin. That was all day, and we had late lunch or early supper together, and flew back home late Thursday night. Everywhere we went, numerous people said to me, and others said to Shelby, "You be sure to thank Grace Baptist Church of Danville for sending you to preach the gospel to us. Thank them for the various ministries from which we benefit." Speaking specifically of Free Grace Radio, the audio and videos, the books, we greatly profit by them. And they want you to know they feel very much a part of this assembly and want you to know they're very thankful for you sending your pastor to preach the gospel to them. And if I am able to do so, Lord willing, I'll go back in the fall and repeat the work, maybe go to a couple of other places. But you pray for God's direction and blessing in that regard, and pray that God will continue to open doors of utterance for the gospel. I can't tell you how thankful I am for God's goodness to me, saving me by his grace and sending me forth to preach the gospel of his grace unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach to you the riches of God's grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified? I'm more astonished by that, Alan, than I've ever been in my life. Me. Nobody less likely, nobody less capable, nobody with less ability. But God has put this rich treasure of the gospel in my hands and in yours, that we should hold forth the light of Jesus Christ crucified to this generation. May God make us faithful to that work. Give us continued open doors of ministry, and add to us whatever is needed to conduct the work for his glory. For Christ's sake, amen. All right.